Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde.
Is there anything anybody loves more than agreeing with Tauscher?
Packers Hall of Famer, Mark Tauscher.
I got a hunch this isn't going to be concise either.
Broadcasting live from the Everlight Solar Studio.
I would say that you are pretty easygoing. You're actually probably more easygoing than I am.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Well, there's no, you're not easygoing at all.
Hey!
On 100.5 ESPN, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand.
Edition. We've got a major announcement coming. And the last time we had a major announcement, our execution was not great.
What was the last major announcement we had?
Barry
had
Alvarez. Barry Alvarez.
And then, oh, yeah, that was not. I don't say that was our best, but in all fairness, I think we handled it well. We just ignored it.
We had a little trouble connecting with Barry. And we have another major announcement that we're really excited about.
I heard something's brewing, is what I saw on the internet, on the interweb.
That would be correct.
Something's brewing.
And I'm the one who's bad at secrets. And we are once again going to be joined by a pretty awesome guest. As long as he joins us on, like, Coach Alvarez edition.
Coach.
Also, the... What's the deal with Jaden Reed's targets edition? And the Tausch ended the show with a tease. Does he remember what it was so he could start today's show with it?
That's a no.
Edition.
I'm not at my undisclosed location, so I don't have my little deal either. So we'll have to.
Oh, dear.
And with all the big news, finish up. I know you need to finish your deal.
Uh-huh.
I will do it, Tausch.
That's pretty good. A 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5.
The ESPN app.
ESPN
streaming
Madison.
Everywhere. Wisconsin On Demand.
30 ESPN.
YouTube,
right,
ESPN.
Get out of the way. Milwaukee.
Have that man removed. ESPNWisconsin.com, the ESPN app. Your Alexa smart speaker. You forgot that one. The ESPN app, your Alexa
Calling
smart
the girls.
Speaker.
We got our Christmas shopping done.
Streaming live video, Twitter, out. Facebook,
tree
YouTube.
Done.
And, of course, everything you need on the Wisconsin On Demand app and WisconsinOnDemand.com. I'm Jason Wilde in Green Bay. Jesse Nelson is in the Everlight Solar ESPN Madison studios. And so is the Packers Hall of Famer. He is Mark Tauscher. Tausch, good morning. How are you?
Doing good, J-Dub. Doing real good.
You messed up what you teased, didn't you?
What do you mean?
Yeah, he teased something at the very end of the show. Someone's gonna have to go back into the archive.
Yeah, but again, we have other stuff. So it's a 2-day tease. This is good. I do think I have.
Are you kidding me?
No, it's a 2-day tease.
Yeah, but it might be more than that until you are under when you locate whatever it was you meant to say.
No, I got it. It's a Wednesday tease.
Do you though?
I feel pretty good about it. Yes. I also feel pretty good. I don't know about you guys. The last couple days, obviously, wherever you end up going, if you're at the holidays and you got family over or if you're at a hockey tournament, people love talking about the G&G.
They do.
They love it. And I love mm-hmm. that. It gives us a great living. It's fantastic.
No doubt. Mm-hmm.
But I really felt, because the question I posed last night, which, again, I don't know how to poll, The question I posed last night was brought because everybody has been saying the same thing to me. How sick they are, the Lions, and they don't know how to win, and they all this other stuff. And I'm still wondering, because it's been so long, it has forever been Bears-Vikings, Vikings-Bears. It's been a toss-up forever. And it just seems like in my walk-a-day life, you know, you talk to people, everybody has kind of had that same mindset. And part of it is because the prisoner of moment. I understand that. That the Lions beat us twice. They're smug. Dirty play from Kirby Joseph. Refs. They're all of the stuff. But then I posed this question last night, and I have not looked. I have not seen the how many responses and what. I think I had one person say the Vikings. Everybody else is saying they'd rather see the Lions win the division than the Vikings. So I wonder if that is truly the case, because that's not. But when we play Minnesota, do we want them? If we can knock them out and we have nothing to gain, we still want to always beat the Vikings. I don't care what is going on. But do you find that the same, or is it just me and my select bubbles of anti-Lionites?
Well, I don't know what happens in your walkabout life, but what I do know is you sent me something earlier this week or late last week. It's hard for me to remember, as you well know. But our friend Wes Hodkiewicz of Packers.com, he posted his weekly Q&A with fans on Packers.com. And then the not really the mayor, but the mayor of Green Bay, Kyle Cousineau.
The Couser.
Screenshot it and shared it with the Twitter public. And it was essentially this. That Wes, and Wes made a lot of references to, like, Game of Thrones, which I didn't get because I don't understand that whole realm. But it was basically, what the hell is wrong with you people rooting for the Lions? And it was as strong as Wes really has been. Wes, that's not Wes's lane. But he basically
now,
was...
Wes, would you consider Wes a fan because he writes for the... Because he was a hardcore journalist when he was at the Press Gazette, right?
Indeed, yes.
Is he now a fan because he works for the website?
I think he obviously has a... First of all, he has a vested interest, right, in the team winning. Like, those folks that work in other parts of the building, they get playoff bonuses, too. So I would think his own self-interest would be,
I don't
go
think,
Pat, go.
I don't think Wes gets a playoff bonus.
I think they do. I think they all get bonuses, yeah. So thank you for your service during all those years you helped those other folks in the building make some cash.
No wonder they all like
secondly,
you so much up there.
I'm curious. That's interesting. I knew that the equipment guys, I didn't know the media did too. That's interesting.
Well, he's a Packers employee. He's as much a Packers employee as Lisa Trichel in the pro shop and Jason Wallers as VP of communications. They all are part of the support staff that help you succeed as a player.
I'd like to see, is that financial information disclosed? Because it's a public company.
I don't know
well,
how much he gets.
No, I want to know. Let's get Wes on this week. I'd love to find that out.
I don't believe Usher George got a playoff bonus when the Brewers made the playoffs.
I like
playoffs,
the fact that the Packers do that. I think, you know, the old seamstresses and 100%. I'm surprised that the media folks within the department do, but I'm intrigued. And now, because I know we're all about transparency, I definitely want to get Wes on, and we want to ask him that because I'm curious.
Also what that makes his annual income and his Social Security number.
Yeah, I'm also intrigued by that. I think he does pretty well up there.
So anyway, his point was basically, look, and I'm paraphrasing here, the Lions are jerks. If you're a Packers fan and the Packers aren't going to win the division, don't root for them. They're jerks.
Yeah, I thought seriously about this because it's intriguing. Right now, some people think we're being too positive. I still believe this team can win a championship. But if they fall short, someone does win. Someone else wins.
Someone else wins.
I would rank the teams that are in the playoff picture that I think are viable threats to going to the Super Bowl from the NFC. I would rank it as Detroit, Philly, and then I have Green Bay 3, some have Minnesota 3. Okay? And then if you want to, just for funsies for me, I'm going to put Seattle / San Francisco as one because they both have been rivals at some point. How are you power ranking who you would want to see represent the NFC outside of GB right now, Jason Wilde?
The Washington Commanders won.
No, they're not a threat. They're not getting there.
Well, wait, so it has it doesn't have
only,
to
there's
be
only four. I'm only putting four in.
Oh, okay.
So I gave you four.
Well, I would have said the Dallas Cowboys if those were available. So Big Mike, last night, not great, Bob. Tough one for Big Mike.
No, another. It's just crazy. The ghost of Leon Lett just continues to reemerge.
Yeah. Is that so? For those that didn't watch,
tell me the
football,
Simpsons
briefly.
Broadcast did a dope when the dude touched the ball. He had to have.
I didn't watch that. Yeah, would have been smart. Jesse, did you watch that?
I unfortunately did not have it on last night.
Where was it?
It was on ESPN Plus.
Yeah, I have that. Oh. I have that streaming service. Mm. Unfortunately, I won't be able to watch the Badgers tonight.
Yeah, Peacock game again tonight.
I'll send you that. So are you opposed to using my login information?
Out. Yeah, I'm just not going to do it. And I know it's arrogant and just being dumb, but I'm not going to.
For cutting off your nose despite your Badger fandom.
No, it's just what it is. I'll see the highlights.
From what I've seen on the clips of on social media, the Simpsons broadcast crushed it. For those who are fans of the Simpsons, like they knocked it out of the park.
The highlights on Twitter and stuff were really good.
Mm-hmm.
That was good. Like Lisa Simpson scored a touchdown, and it was actually like played out the way it played out. I thought it was really and I just want to make sure that they did a dope. When old boy grabbed the ball when he didn't need to, and if they didn't, the Cowboys win. Now everybody's questioning Mike McCarthy again and his management, and it's just that's the life of an NFL coach.
Sometimes players do things they know they're not supposed to in the heat of the moment, though. I'm guessing that they were coached not to do that by their special teams coordinator, and the guy did it anyway. Don't think that makes it Mike's fault. I will also say this. I saw some feedback on social media. If you watch the game in its entirety that way, and you are a football fan, not a Simpsons fan, it made it difficult to know who was who. And if you were more interested in the traditional, oh, that was C.D. Lamb, or that was player XYZ, I saw that there were a few folks that found that frustrating.
Oh!
So, do you have anything else in your Simpsons arsenal?
That's it.
You're pretty good at it, though.
Oh! It's a little high-pitched, a little whiny.
All right.
A little pitchy dog.
My shorts. Does any eat my shorts guy, too?
Eat my shorts. I feel like you're more of a Bleeding Gums Murphy type. What are you, who's the clown? Not Dunzo.
Krusty
the clown. Makes a good burger, from what I've understood.
So who do I get to choose from if the Packers aren't winning the Super Bowl?
Detroit,
Lions?
Minnesota, Philly, and San Fran, Seattle, poo-poo platter. I think the only way you're not going to get either of those teams to the top if you don't come a poo-poo platter them.
I am taking the Vikings.
You want them as one?
Mm-hmm.
You want the Vikings to win and go to the champion?
Yeah, this is Aaron Jones is on their team.
Oh my God!
Sam Darnold,
what are you,
is
Tony
a great
Cartagena?
Story.
That's messed up. That's
you cannot. I don't care what you don't have to be a fan. We don't want Minnesota ever winning anything. Ever.
Except for that year that Favre was on the team.
No. That was even more so. I didn't want him
very much in favor of that. But every other year, no.
I would not have answered
that. You cannot. I don't care. I don't. Jason, I know you're not a fan, and I'm not litigating that today. We'll do that in April. The concept of having Minnesota anywhere but four is a non-starter for me as a former Packer and a Packer fan / analyst, however you want to look at it.
Did you give your list? Did I miss it?
No, I'm not putting them one. Guarantee that. The only question I have is, can I put Detroit first because of their long-suffering, how their fans are. And I think Wes brought up some really good points. Now, I didn't realize he's got a playoff bonus on the line. That changes a little bit of how I view that. But I don't know if I can put Detroit first, whereas before Thursday's game, I probably would have. If that makes any sense to you. Philadelphia,
no,
I have to put three. I can't put them ahead. I can't put them.
You're running out of spots, bro.
It's Minnesota or it's going to be Detroit. I think if Green Bay doesn't make it, I think I'm going to put Detroit at one. And I know that sounds sacrilegious, but that's where I think I'm at. So you're
telling me.
I can't stand Seattle. And I'm sick of San Fran. Yeah, I'm going, here's my list. Detroit won. A poo-poo platter of San Fran, Seattle, whoever wins that. Then I'm going Philly, and then I'm going Minnesota would be 32nd if I could put them 32nd.
Why do you want Philly third? What the hell does that have to?
I just don't
and
like
the words of Barry Alvarez. Who the hell cares who wins if it's not the Packers?
Well, I'm just asking if that's the case. That's how I feel.
All right. Well, how I feel, which apparently has been invalidated by both you and Jerry.
I cannot believe that any self-standing Packer fan could do that. I can't.
Wait a minute. So you're saying that the team that currently owns the Packers, right, to some degree, they got a guy. I did talk to both Tucker Kraft and to Christian Watson yesterday about Kirby Joseph, and both of them. Their responses about the low hits were very interesting to me. I will try to get that audio to Jesse at some point.
Sunday article? Is it a Sunday article?
No, it's not that. It's the game's passed. It probably makes more sense to do it today, frankly. But
Digi only?
Maybe. Here's the issue I have. You are a fan. Everyone else is a fan, including Jeriad, who is accusing me of blasphemy. I'm a people person. Okay, I love the idea of Sam Darnold, who was such a spectacular disappointment in New York.
What about Jared Goff got traded, and they had to give a first-round pick to take him?
Aaron Jones.
What about
Aaron Jones? He's on the Vikings.
Yeah, it's great.
Andrew Van Ginkel on the Vikings.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure you've had a lot of conversations with
Van Ginkel. I have his sweatshirt. He sent me his Duke's Mail Bowl sweatshirt.
I'm sure he did. I've heard you talk about Van Ginkel one time in your life, so that's interesting.
He sent it to you?
Yes, well, I think Brian Lucas did the sending for me. But, yeah. And then I like Kevin O'Connell.
Okay.
So I'm basing it on the people. You like Dan Campbell?
I like Dan Campbell. I like Kevin O'Connell. I think they're both really good coaches. I don't care about that.
Purely the reason why I am going to get lambasted now because of this.
Minnesota won without Blinken? That's amazing to me.
Aaron Jones.
Amazing.
Aaron Jones.
Oh,
it's as simple as that.
Sure.
So if I may ask a follow-up question, since you've put the non-fan in such a great position, which, again, I would like to go back to the great words of Barry Alvarez. Who the hell cares who wins if it's not the Packers?
Oh, people care.
I
know you don't, because once the Packers, like, you're only Packers. Like, I don't think from an NFL standpoint, I don't want to get into that.
Watch the game.
No, yeah. I don't necessarily know.
You're irritating.
I think most fans of football, which I don't know if I'd say you are. You're a worker.
I am.
You do this as most of us are invested.
So can I ask my question so we can move on?
Sure.
And I'll poll it for you since you pretend like you can't figure out polling. Is it purely so you can claim that supremacy over the Vikings that they have and do the empty trophy case joke every year?
That's fun to have.
And that they haven't won a Super Bowl, so you just want them to never win a Super Bowl.
Yeah, I don't want Minnesota to ever.
Because essentially, two of the three other teams in the division all have never won a Super Bowl.
Yeah,
right?
I just
Lions, no Super Bowl. Yep. Vikings, no Super Bowl.
Correct.
So that's the reason. So that trumps the fact that you like Aaron Jones or you like Andrew Van Ginkel or whoever you may like on that team.
Yeah, I like Aaron Jones a lot more when he's in Green Bay. Like, I'm not rooting for him to have great...
It's not his fault he's not in Green Bay. That's where he wanted to be, too.
I'm not arguing, but that's not the reality. Like, tough luck. Like, I'm a Packer fan. I'm not interested in, oh, shucks, I hope this. No, I don't. I hope you fumble, and I hope we pick it up and score, and that's what I hope for. So, no, I'm not interested in that, unless it's my own kid playing there or someone that I know really well. No, I don't care. I don't want Minnesota to win a jack, ever. I don't even want the Timberwolves to win.
Wait a minute.
Now, the Twins, I feel all right about, though. Well, it's a weird
twins
dynamic.
Twins and Timberwolves were kind of all in on them.
I got to be honest with you. We're going to have enough trouble with our major announcement. I'm not wasting another single second on this.
Minnesota.
I'm okay
can you
with the
blank
Twins.
And believe that?
Ridiculousness.
It's just
I
different.
Know you are a fan of one team, and that, of course, is Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Yes, indeed, and I didn't say Pella Windows and Doors of Minneapolis. or Detroit. I said of Wisconsin, ensure your home remains comfortable before we reach that brutal post-holiday winter. And yes, old Santa Claus is a magical fella, but his elves, maybe not as much. They aren't qualified to build Pella windows and doors. Too many options, too many customizations. You need the pros at Pella. So instead of going through the big red fella, take advantage of this Pella deal. Get as low as $19 per window, $81 per patio door per month. Certain restrictions do apply. This offer ends on New Year's Eve. Visit PellaWI.com to learn more.
Skull. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Now I'm irritated. But I'm making my case in the YouTube comments. So be sure to subscribe.
I have to figure out how to jump in that mix. I don't know why. That sounds fun in there.
So be sure to subscribe like Tausch thinks he has, but really hasn't.
I have subscribed, but I'm not... They're not giving me access.
I don't know what the blue sky edition of the YouTube comments
is. Do you need like a VIP...
No, you need a Gmail account.
I have that.
It's very easy.
Okay, you have to be logged into it.
I don't know how to do that.
Okay, then. And no polls either. All right, so I've taken my case to the YouTube comments. Let me just bottom line it for you. A, not rooting for the Vikings at all. I am answering the question that Tausch gave me. Secondly, B.
But you kind of are. You just said you love Aaron Jones. And Ginkle.
Aaron Jones is there.
I didn't know you were such a Van Ginkle guy.
I love the Sam Darnold angle.
But you love Van Ginkle. He gave you mayo. He gave you a tub of mayo.
The greater issue is I can't wear the sweatshirt because it's too small.
Give it to Jesse.
That's true. It'll fit him now. But I do. I like that storyline. I like Kevin O'Connell. I like Sam Darnold. But as Geriad asked me in the comments, I wasn't rooting for Favre or Longwell or Billy Lyon.
Why would you have
ruled
for Favre? You had all that stuff. You shot paintballs at each other. Like, you're more in tune with Aaron Jones than Brett Favre?
Aaron Jones, good human being.
Oh, burn.
No, just a good human being that I want to see succeed.
That is a complete shot, and you can take that
shot. Oh, snap.
Didn't leave.
But you spent 17 years with Brett. And he provided a lot of memories for you and put a lot of food on your and Paula's table. That's an interesting dynamic, but I get what you're saying.
But again, Aaron Jones never, ever, ever wanted to leave here. Didn't want to leave.
Most guys don't.
Okay, right. But again, if we're going to be mad at somebody for going somewhere.
Nobody's mad, but that doesn't mean we're rooting for our arch rival because
you asked me why I'm rooting
understand.
For him.
I understand. I disagree with you, but I understand.
All right. Well, I know this, and they're having a lot of success in Minnesota from what I hear from Doug when I saw him. And that, of course, is Kohler Services. They're not afraid to go to Minnesota and make people happy.
We love it. Our friends at Kohler Services. And if you need a bath or shower remodel this holiday season, turn to Kohler Services. Family-owned, 150 years. That's as much as the Vikings not winning a championship. Kohler is your Wisconsin manufacturer providing care for life, and this month only, zero interest, just like the trophy case at Minnesota. Zero interest financing for 12 months. You could replace that with 12 decades. And a free shower door. Oh, Gilligan, a free shower door with that Lugstone shower remodel. Visit KohlerServicesWI.com to request your free quote with fast professional installation. Well, that is always included. Again, KohlerServicesWI.com.
A major announcement is next. We'll see if we flub it. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Wilde and Tausch is brought to you by Tito's Handmade Vodka. Tito's makes the good stuff for good times. Find recipes, videos, and more at Tito'sVodka.com.
Bushels of fun. Now the jingle hop has begun. Jingle bell, jingle.
All right, the time has come for a major announcement.
Jingle bells time.
Now, if
I had... We're getting that leg trophy.
It's not a major award for Gile, no. Now, I would say, you hear me talk all the time about coaching and the girls and their teams, and I always say, next play, right? I'm sure if we had a great coach or manager with us, I don't know, like NL Manager of the Year, Pat Murphy, he would tell me, hey, don't let the last major announcement beat you again. So what if you struck out on the Barry Alvarez announcement? Don't let that influence this announcement. So I'm not. I'm focused. I'm ready. And here it is. The big news is that beginning with the 2025 Major League Baseball season, 100.5 ESPN Madison will become Madison's new home of the Milwaukee Brewers.
Let's go. Let's go.
Obviously, our sister station, 620 WTMJ, the longtime flagship of the Brewers. And now, if you're going to listen to the Brewers in Madison, you're going to listen to us on 100.5 ESPN Madison. Jesse, great job. I assume you were integral in this whole process, and you're the one who made this happen.
They told me it was happening. No, we got it. We're good. This was. I love the Milwaukee Brewers, and I am so happy that we are now going to be the home of the Brewers on 100.5 ESPN, and that every game all season long will be heard right here, crystal clear. So excited to be home to another contender in 2025.
And there's no truth to the rumor that your father, Usher George, is going to come out of retirement to start ushering again at games in honor of this big news.
No truth to that. However, I might be angling to replace Levering.
Okay, well, you know what? Jeff Levering big-timed us today. We thought we were going to have him to help us make this announcement, so we had to go to the bullpen. We had to find someone else. And you know who we found? The reigning NL Manager of the Year. He was actually our first choice. It is Pat Murphy on Wilde and Tausch. Pat, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, guys. Hey, I'll be a bullpen for Levering anytime. Levering special. I know where I stand. I'm okay with it.
Well, let me actually tell you where you stand with me, and I've got a bunch of questions for you, but I have admired you from afar. I'm not Todd Rosiak. I don't have to cover you on a daily basis. I cover the Packers, so I drive Matt LaFleur crazy all the time. I'm sure Todd does that to you. But watching you, watching press conferences with the boys, I've been a longtime admirer of yours from afar, and I am curious just what this past season was like, because I don't know if I've ever been happier for someone I don't even know than when you won NL Manager of the Year and the success this team had.
Well, thank you very much for those kind comments. You know, those individual awards are, you know, for the players and things like that, it's great. But, you know, our profession, that kind of stuff just doesn't, it doesn't vibe. You know, you just, it's a nice honor and you accept it. But you realize that, one, there's no way of really measuring who did the, who had the biggest impact. And two, you know, the players make you look good. They hungry players that play with high energy make you look good, and I was blessed to have that this year. Great leadership in the clubhouse, and great baseball staff around me, and you know, great front office ownership supported us at all the right times. And yeah, I mean, I'm thrilled to be part of the Brewers, and that's been a great experience for me. So thanks for the kind comments, and yeah, but those individual awards, the season was great. I just obviously, you don't like the ending the way it is, and the fans sometimes tick me off because they don't realize how tough it is to just get there. Mm-hmm. And then when you lose in a baseball game the way we did, mm-hmm. you know, like the way we lost, I mean, that can happen in baseball. We had totally played well enough to win that series, but, you know, they had the magic in the ninth inning and put the ball in play and hit it where they weren't. And, you know, if Nemo hits that ball right at Terang, game's over, and, you know, we're celebrating on to the next series. So it just, it comes down to an inch or, as you well know, and even in football, you know, it comes down to a fourth and one sometimes. But, yeah, it was a great experience. I enjoyed so many parts of it. But, yeah, it leaves a bitter taste in your mouth, and you're never going to forget that one.
Well, Pat, on the flip side of that, then, I do want to know, because I remember seeing a clip, I think Kurt Hogg was the one who posted it, of you at spring training saying, be careful, these guys might believe themselves right into contention. At what point did you know you had that kind of team that could do what it did? And what was the secret sauce for your team to be able to take that young talent and coalesce into what became one of the best stories that we've seen in sports in quite a while?
Well, thanks for saying that. If you knew the characters we had the right mix of characters. And a guy like Yelich stood up and really led some of the young players. Willie Adames stood up and led young players through thick and thin. You had a guy like Wade Miley on the bench. You had Devin. You know, you had Brandon Woodruff just doing his rehab, but the way he treated others and the way he did his thing. I mean, we just had some great people, Reese Hoskins. We had great older guys, they're in their early 30s. That sounds funny. But we had great older guys, and the young kids were just wide-eyed and played hard every day. And it was quite an accomplishment. They just brought it every day. They knew that was the expectation. And they brought it every day. And then the front office provided us. Yeah, we didn't have players anybody knew their names, but they were capable, and we had a lot of depth in the minor leagues. So we were able to piece together 30-some pitchers, 18 different starters, 12 different guys got saves. You know, that's unusual. So, yeah, it was a fun deal. And the league was all trying to win. There was nobody in the league that was rebuilding. And they're all going to be much better this year, and we're going to have an uphill battle, and our work's going to be cut out for us because we lose some great ones, and like we always do, and have to kind of, you know, piece it back together and stir the soup and be ready to compete.
Ooh, a little soup stirring. That soup is not going to have Willie Adames in there. And obviously what he has been able to do for the Brewers was huge, both probably in the clubhouse but on the field. How big of a loss? And I know you said you hope that he ends up getting the money that he was looking for, even though you'd have loved to have had him. How big of a loss is that going to be?
That's huge. I mean, there's no way to say it any differently. It's a huge loss because of who he is. You know, he wanted the attention. He wanted to start him. He wanted to be in the big situation. And but it's how he brought it every day that made the difference for him and his life, and he rubbed off on a lot of people the right way. And so next man up. That's what we do. Next man up.
So, Pat, I don't want to spend a ton of time on hardcore baseball because Rosiak knows I've got a man crush on you. I have some questions that he suggested for me, so I'm stealing them from him. But I want to ask you about this. When you see the contract that Juan Soto gets, it's hard to see that and think back to watching Brad Pitt in Moneyball and thinking we're, you know, organ donors for the rich and everything like that. When you look at that, do you just have to brush it aside and say, hey, that's the world I manage in and I just have to deal with it? Or how do you view that when you see a number like that?
Well, to be honest with you, the way I look at it, and you guys may get a chuckle out of it, I view it as, okay, well, the Mets are spending most of their money there on one player. He's a really good player. We're going to have to pitch to him anyways. So that's good because they spent so much money on him, they probably can't sign too many more. So I look at it as like, okay, he's going to play in the National League. All right, let's plan how we're going to get Soto out. Lindor, one of the best players in the game, and then you got Soto. They suddenly have the Dodger-type lineup. But again, that's all the navigation that goes into it. I don't get into the money. It's the haves and the have-nots. It's getting wider and wider. We see that. I don't get into the politics of it. I'm too old for that. You know, I just need to concentrate on what we have in front of us. You know,
that sounded like Lou Brown in Major League.
Got someone on the other line for some white ones.
You got a little Lou in, yeah. You know what? They call you up to take the job after council leaves. I got another call about some white wall tires. I'll get back to you.
I like it.
So, Pat, that's where I want to go next, not to Major League the movie, but some of the stuff that maybe our audience that gets a lot of Packers conversation and not as much Brewers conversation gets. And a few things that I didn't know about you, but can you tell us about your experience with the movie Rudy when you were at Notre Dame? Because Tausch has reenacted the film.
Oh, I didn't know
Rudy
that.
Before. Oh. And I know you've told this story before, but if you don't mind playing some of your hits for our audience, I've got a few for you.
All right. Well, Rudy and I knew each other before he made the movie, because I was a young kid growing up in Syracuse, New York, 8 and 9, 10 years old, and I had the South Bend Tribune delivered to my home every day. 3 days, 4 days delayed, but I just followed Notre Dame sports and was a fanatic. And anyways, I studied the football programs too. They'd send me the football program, you know, a week later. And it was an absolute duplicate of the week before with like 3 pages different. But I would save all the programs, and I studied the roster up, down, and I could tell you every player's name from, you quiz me on 73, that era, you know, in the early 70s, and then maybe even before. And I knew number 45 was Dan Rudiger, and I knew Joliet, Illinois, and whatever. So when he was walking around when I first got the job there, I saw him, and I go, "Hey, Dan Rudiger." He goes, "You know me?" Now, he was obscure. No one knew who he was or know that he even played. You wouldn't think he would have played. And I got to know him a little bit. He was selling cars at Coral Dodge in South Bend. And anyways, he then he started talking about making a movie. And he had these VHS tapes that he would show us these interviews. And I would be like, "Bro, you need some help, man. You have to make a movie. What are you talking about?" But he had this idea. And hearing the story of how he made the movie was incredible. And he let me get involved. I got to meet everybody, and they used my office as a little meeting area. So I got to meet all sorts of people, one of which was Al Collins, who infamously, you know, drove the...
You know who I am.
Yeah. So Big Al used to be there every day. He's the football technical director. He would teach the kids that didn't really know football how to kind of look like a football player. And wow, it was a great experience watching Rudy go through this. It was an ongoing thing for about a year, and I still remain very close with Rudy. I mean, he's one of a kind. They broke the mold, and he's a special guy. He did a lot for himself. He did a lot for Notre Dame. Because they portrayed Notre Dame as such a sacred place. It was wonderful.
Pat, how accurate was that movie? Because Tom Clements is a guy that coached for me, and he was on that team. How accurate, in your assessment, was Rudy the movie?
I mean, the story is true.
Okay.
The story is true. Some of the things, throwing the jerseys down on Devine's guys.
That's not... Oh, I thought that was okay. That's what we recreated.
Yeah, I mean, there's some things that didn't. I love Tommy Clements, number two. You know, I love Pennsylvania kid.
Yeah,
yeah. Love him. Met him many times, and he was there when I was there too. And yeah, he was one of my favorite all times, Tommy Clements.
I will tell him that when we have coach
Rock,
access,
right?
Later this
McKees
week.
Rock. McKees Rock, Pennsylvania. Sorry.
Mm-hmm. Look at you showing off. I love it.
Well, Montana, he read every. Montana, I mean, he had every press guide. Of course, he knows.
Monongahela was Joe Montana. Sorry, he was number three, by the way.
If you're available every Tuesday, let me know, because we would love to do this on a regular basis. All right. So I know you only have so much time because you know you are at the winter meetings, but I have a couple of other. Two other stories I want to get out of you before you go.
Yeah, we finished second on the Soto deal. Tied for second in the Soto deal.
Yeah, a 700-year contract? Is that what you went with?
No, we finished tied for second. Our offer was...
slightly lower. You mentioned Syracuse. You were a boxer? Yeah. Is this true?
I did. I mean, it's how you quantify it. You know, if I go out in the yard and shoot baskets, I'm not a basketball player. I won some amateur fights. I won some amateur tournaments. I continued it past college, and I went on and bought some exhibitions and things like that. I love training for it. yeah, I was never, you know, I didn't lose much, but I wasn't anything great.
So you were like a Rocky Balboa type early in his, before he succeeds?
I mean, people want to, I didn't really fight like that, but I fought in a gym in Syracuse. I trained in a gym, Syracuse Boxing Club, that was run by a guy named Billy Harris, who had all the work release program kids from the local jail. And he didn't have any Caucasian kids in there except me. And there was another gym in Syracuse, Ring 56 or Ring 76, run by Graziano, who, you know, they had Carmen Basilio's group in there.
Right.
And they wanted me to come over there, but I stayed in Billy Harris's gym because I didn't fight the way they wanted me to fight. I was more tactical, so to speak.
Oh, remind me to stay on your good side. All right, last thing, because I know you got to go. Early in my career, I covered minor league baseball, and there is something about that that is a pretty cool thing to be around on a daily basis, so I always cherish that time. But I'm curious about some of your favorite memories, especially from when you were both a player and a manager. Didn't you do both at the same time in the minors?
I did. You want a story? Is that what you want?
I want to. Well,
that's always what he wants, Pat. That's the only thing he just loves stories.
I do.
I'm going to tell you a story that you will question when you hang up. You'll question. You'll look at your partner. You're going to go, nah, that didn't happen. But I'm going to tell you this is true as sitting here.
All right.
Before my first managerial win, 1986 Tri-City Triplets. Before that. We already lost our first game. We went to Spokane to play our second game. We had 14 players on the team. We were called a co-op team, where other teams lent us players to fill out the roster so we could have six teams in the league. So as this co-op team, it was looking pretty grim. My pitching coach was Bruce Keeson, a longtime Pirate. God rest his soul. Anyway, we're playing Spokane game two. We're hoping to get some more players. We got about four pitchers. We're losing 9-0 in the ninth with two outs and nobody on. Bruce Keeson already left the building, and I was coaching third, and put myself into pitch in about the seventh. Yeah, in the seventh, I put myself into pitch just to save the pitching. I was pitching in turf shoes as a manager. And lo and behold, with two outs and nobody on, we scored 9 runs in the ninth to tie it up. And went on to win the game. I want to say, I think it was 10-1, and we tied it 10-10. Went on to win 14-10 in 12 innings. And I think I pitched the last 5 innings, got my first managerial win in turf shoes. True story.
And you got the win as the pitcher of record.
Yep, exactly. True story. Right. Look it up.
I believe you, and you have done nothing but increase my affinity for you. I need one last favor from you, though, since we're asking all these favors of you. Helped us make the announcement.
What do you got?
So, Craig Counsell, I know, is dear to you. I actually have a few friends who grew up with him. It has been hard for me, and I give Jesse a hard time because he is a diehard Brewers fan, and he was pretty upset with Craig for leaving. When you have the opportunity to tell folks that we're so disappointed or so mad at him for leaving, I'm so glad you had and your team had so much success this year to soften that blow that folks were delivering. But when people ask you, hey, how should I feel about Craig, what do you tell them so Jesse can hear that and change his tune?
For sure. I mean, Craig Counsell, you know, is a legend in Wisconsin sports. I mean, it's the greatest era in Brewer history, the greatest era of consistent success in Brewer history. And Craig was at the forefront of that. And he's a great manager. He's a great person. He loves Wisconsin sports. He was really crushed by this. He knew what was coming, and he's a big boy. He's been through a lot of big things, and he was crushed by by what happened, but at the same time, he did what he thought he had to do for himself and for baseball. It helps everybody, you know. And yeah, I mean, it was hard to pill to swallow. You can argue left and right about this, that, or the other thing, but he's an icon in my mind in Wisconsin sports, and always will be. Will always live in Wisconsin. I mean, he's as diehard as you get, and I think people will forgive him in terms of understanding what was behind it. And he gave us 8 good years, and even more than that when he was in the front office and then as a player. So I think fans will change their tune. He's awesome, man. He is as authentic mm-hmm. and true blue. He was debuting, first time coaching. He'd coached fourth grade basketball or something, girls basketball, and then he debuts as a major league manager and you know, knocks it out of the park. So,
and made sure everybody played equal
him,
playing
he
time.
He ended up mentoring me, probably.
But all right, Pat.
I was supposed to mentor him, but he ended up mentoring me a lot more than anyone would know.
Well, we're thrilled to have you, and we really appreciate you making time for us for our big announcement. And if the boys ever want to sit on the other side of the press conference instead of up there with you, I could always use help in Matt LaFleur's press conferences. Let them know I'd be happy to bring them along one day to work, and they can ask some questions. Lord knows they'd be better than my questions, and they'd be shorter.
Definitely more concise, yes.
And probably better than Todd's too, to be honest. There's
no doubt about that, Pat. I'm not going to argue with that, but I can assure you they'll be more concise than what Wildy's doing. I know that for a fact.
Pat, thank you for your time. We appreciate it.
All right. Great, guys. Thanks a lot for having me on. All right.
That is Brewers manager Pat Murphy joining us from the winter meetings and regaling
9-0,
us with all kinds of stories. 9-0,
2 outs.
Yeah, that's a rally
that's
now.
That's something now.
Everything after
Jesse,
two.
Jesse really wanted me to throw a shot at him, saying just like Rudy, like that he thinks that story's made up.
That
he
true
was
story.
Basically calling Pat a fibber. That's what he was doing.
Some Brewers fan you are.
I agree with Pat. Council going to the Cubs was good for everybody last year. That's great. Worked out well in the end.
Yes, and it's good for us that we will be the Madison home of Milwaukee Brewers baseball, 100.5 ESPN Madison. Of course, you always listen on 620 WTMJ, and I was only half kidding when I said we didn't know if we'd be able to get Pat Murphy, which is a pretty good get, I would say. So we did ask our buddy Jeff Levering, and then we got Pat Murphy. And we told Levering, no, we're good. And he offered to come on anyway. That's the kind of friend Jeff Levering is to us. So we look forward to him. He's going to join us a little bit later in the program. But, again, the big news today for us, and I hope for you as Brewers fans and our loyal listeners, is that 100.5 ESPN Madison, your new Madison home, starting with the 2025 Brewers season of Brewers baseball on the radio. We'll react to our conversation with Pat Murphy next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
Madison's home of the Milwaukee Bucks.
Lillard lobs up top to Giannis. Oh, what a play!
Wisconsin Badgers volleyball.
Underneath it, pump set, left side, powers it down. What a rally! And Wisconsin comes out on top.
And now, the Milwaukee Brewers.
Hit to left and deep. Get up!
This is Madison's new home of the Milwaukee Brewers, 100.5 ESPN.
It's beginning to look a lot like...
Thanks again to Pat Murphy for helping us make our big announcement about the Brewers now Madison home being 100.5 ESPN Madison. Tausch, I say this just because it happens to be coinciding with time for you to tell us about Coors Light. Tell me how much fun Pat Murphy would be to have a beer with.
Oh, there's no doubt. This is what I love about baseball, folks. I mean, especially guys that have been around forever. You know, we joke about naming catchers and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of downtime, a lot of time. And these cats got stories on stories on stories. And it's the same thing in football, but it's just there's difference because you don't have the same amount of games. But just the almanac-type memory that Pat Murphy had. Just imagine sitting there cracking a Coors Light and listening to him tell stories about Ricky Henderson back in the 80s. Just, I'm all in. Coors Light brewed with that three-step cold process, cold lager, cold filtered, and cold packaged, so it's made to chill and make sure those mountains are blue. That's when you know Coors Light's bottle or can is chilled to perfection. That's why it's always Coors Light in my hand when I need a moment to chill. Celebrate responsibly, Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
A shout out to David in the YouTube comments who says Pat Murphy would make a great addition to the weekly segment Name a Random 80s Brewers or Baseball Player.
Oh, yeah. Bruce Keeson, he dropped there. That was great. And I knew exactly who that was from all my baseball card collecting. Jaime Coconauer in the 10 o'clock hour.
Actually, I don't know. Jaime will not be joining us, but that was a reference I wanted to make as well.
We'll get back to Packers now when we kick off the 10 o'clock hour, which will happen in 2 minutes. So stick around. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand.